वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, continuing with the fifth canto, chapter 25, entitled The Glories of Lord Ananta. Text number 4 and 5, because only one of them has a purport. Yasyangri kamala jugalaruna vishada naka manisanda mandale shahi pataya saha sattvatara sabhyar ekanta bhakti yogena vanamanta svavadanani parispurat kundala prabha mandita ganda stavaniyati manoharani pramudita Manasakalu vilokayanti. Translation. The pink transcendent toenails of the Lord's lotus feet are exactly like valuable gems polished to a mirror finish. When the unalloyed devotees and leaders of the snakes offer their obeisances to Lord Sankarshan with great devotion, they become very joyful upon seeing their own beautiful faces reflected in his toenails. Their cheeks are decorated with glittering earrings, and the beauty of their faces is extremely pleasing to see. Text number 5. Yasyaiva hi nagaraja kumarya ashisha ashanash charvanga vilaya valaya vilasita vishada vipula dhavala Subhaga Ruchira Bhuja Rajata Stambeshva Guru Chandana Kunkuma Pankanu Lepena Vilim Pamanganastad Abhimarshanon Matita Riddhaya Makara Dvajavesha Ruchira Lalita Smitas Taranuraga mada mudita mada Vigurni taruna karuna valoka Nayana vidana ravindam Soridam kila vilokayanti. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord Ananta's arms are attractively long, beautifully decorated with bangles, and completely spiritual. They are white, and so they appear like silver columns. When the beautiful princesses of the serpent kings, hoping for the Lord's auspicious blessing, smear his arms with aguru pulp, sandalwood pulp, and kunkum, the touch of his limbs awakens lusty desires within them. Understanding their minds, the Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile, and they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. Then they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. Purport. When males and females touch each other's bodies, their lusty desires naturally awaken. It appears from this verse that there are similar sensations in spiritual bodies. Both Lord Ananta and the women giving him pleasure had spiritual bodies. Thus, all sensations originally exist in the spiritual body. This is confirmed in the Vedanta Sutra, Janmajasayataha. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has commented in this connection that the word Adi means Adi Rasa, the original lusty feeling, which is born from the Supreme. However, spiritual lust and material lust are as completely different as gold and iron. Only one who is very highly elevated in spiritual realization can understand the lusty feelings exchanged between Radha and Krishna, or between Krishna and the damsels of Braj. Therefore, unless one is very experienced and advanced in spiritual realization, he is forbidden to discuss the lusty feelings of Krishna and the gopis. However, if one is a sincere and pure devotee, the material lust in his heart is completely vanquished as he discusses the lusty feelings between the gopis and Krishna, and he makes quick progress in spiritual life. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Militam Jena Tasmai Sigurave Nama Chaitanya Manobhisam Stavidam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupagadam Ayam Dadati Shabadam Dikam Kum Guru Divaja Alam Pankam Mangayate Girim Adhivadam Ham Vande Sigurum Dina Taharanam. So I'm certainly not qualified to talk about this, as Srila Prabhupada points out in the purport. But because we're hearing from the pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada's purport, and we're referencing Srila Prabhupada's words, they should be repeated. But otherwise, as Srila Prabhupada points out, only one who is very highly advanced in spiritual realization can understand the lusty feelings exchanged between Radha and Krishna. Typically in the material world, people are very interested in hearing about these sorts of exchanges going on between Krishna and the gopis. And just in general, people are very quick to indulge in discussions about lusty affairs. As Prabhupada points here, when males and females touch each other's bodies, their lusty desires naturally awaken. Just the discussion, what to speak of the touching, creates all sorts of problems in the material world. And again, typically people are interested in such discussions to the point where they spend countless hours and so much wealth and energy in producing novels and movies and writing so many songs, trying to find some sort of fulfillment. We were just recently in Las Vegas, where it's more of a concentrated atmosphere in this regard, where everything is big and bold and in your face. But the fact is that it never becomes fulfilling. Sadly enough, what happens is someone inevitably becomes exploited. That is the sad fact in the material world, that we may be trying to satisfy such desires which are originally spiritual, as Prabhupada points out here. All sensations originally exist in the spiritual body. But due to contact with the material energy, as Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Kama Rupena Konteya Dusparinena Lena Cha, that the living entity who is wise actually there's knowledge there. But because one has this association, the living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by this eternal enemy, which comes in the form of lust, which, as Krishna points out, is never satisfied but burns like fire. So even though we're trying to make so much effort in trying to satisfy these desires in the material world, they can never be satisfied. Inevitably, people are just hurt, which is very unfortunate. So many innocent persons, as a result, have to suffer and engage in so many sinful activities, but become more and more bound and anxious. So the alternative is described here, that if one can direct that loving propensity toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and here in the description of Lord Ananta, we can understand how easy it is to become attracted to him because of his long, attractive arms, his beautifully decorated, which are beautifully decorated with bangles and his toenails, which are, as we were reading in the previous verse, effulgent. They have a mirror. They're polished to a mirror finish. So it's not difficult to see how one can become attracted to the Personality of Godhead. Simply, it's a matter of opportunity. One has to have the opportunity. And that means hearing from the right source, as we're hearing, as Srila Prabhupada is pointing out here, that unless one is very experienced and advanced in spiritual realization, such discussions should not take place. However, if one is sincere and discusses in the proper association, then that lust which is there within the heart becomes completely vanquished, as Prabhupada points out here. And these and instead of becoming degraded, as the general populace is, to the point where they take these feelings between Krishna and the gopis to be some sort of mundane, licentious affairs, and categorizing it in some mundane way, Srila Prabhupada points out, they, as a result of their speculation, create some sort of a modernistic picture, when in actuality it has nothing to do with this mundane world. Srila Prabhupada points out that this lusty attitude, which is pointed out here, makes this reference in the Nectar Devotion, that this is not a reference to a sex indulgence, but to a an attitude of associating with Krishna. And just as we can see, just even in a mundane sense, we can understand, just as someone may be lusting for, say, power or money, what kind of reciprocation can you have with that? No, it's a question of association. So it's a question of attitude. So these affairs which are described, these activities which are described between Krishna and his associates are not of a mundane sense. But those who are polluted, who have some, who are infected by some mundane consciousness, they become attracted to these activities and they try to create some different kind of picture. Therefore, one has to hear from the proper source. As Prabhupada points out in the Krishna book introduction, I believe there's a statement there where in Srila Prabhupada comments that if one reads this Krishna book, then something to the effect that one will become a devotee, point being that because this is being presented by a extremely or absolutely a pure medium, the pure devotee, it has a total different effect upon the consciousness. We have practical experience. When you hear and read about the activities of Krishna in the 10th canto as presented by the pure devotee, it becomes it's actually a relief. It's very satisfying. Whereas these mundane persons who like to take these pastimes and distort them in their own mundane way, it only creates confusion and ultimately a degraded life. So, and going practically, you know, to a place like we went this past weekend to Las Vegas, it's a more concentrated atmosphere, obviously, and it's more evident. Although it's everywhere, and it's highly commendable that devotees there who are struggling, trying to preach, are doing a really fantastic job, actually. We have to commend Sir Paul and his wife, Krishnamayi, I believe that's her name, in working very hard to establish some oasis in the midst of that energy. It's really a great challenge. But that same challenge is there certainly everywhere, not just there. It's here, it's all over the world. In the Kali Yuga, a sense of enjoyment, instead of giving, Prabhupada makes this point also in the purport here, that when the males and females touched each other's bodies, their lusty desires naturally awaken. This is a taking attitude. Whereas both Ananta and the women giving him pleasure had spiritual bodies. This is an attitude of giving. There's a big difference. When that attitude of taking is there, it creates so many problems. There's never any satisfaction. But when the attitude is of giving the Lord pleasure, This is the definition of the lusty desires which are there in their hearts. Their desires to some or other give pleasure to Krishna, to the Lord, to some or other provide him some satisfaction. But in the material world, again, it's a whole different scene. The attitude is, let me some or other enjoy. So when we read such pastimes, we get a whole different perception. But when one hears from the pure devotee, as we're hearing here, Srila Prabhupada is giving a very nice description of Lord Ananta, his beautiful form, his attractive features, his beautiful associates, and their loving pastimes. It's very, very attractive. It's very satisfying. And the Lord, situated in their heart, as Prabhupada points out here, knows their attitude, understanding their minds. The Lord looks at the princesses with a merciful smile, and they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. Krishna is there within the heart, and he's quite well aware of what we're desiring. And if the desire is pure, no doubt Krishna will satisfy those desires. In due course, of course, we know that the Lord is all merciful, certainly. But at the same time, it's not that Krishna is going to give us a long rope to, so to speak, hang ourselves. No. But the Lord will give according to our capacity to receive his mercy. Then they become bashful, realizing that he knows their desires. When they smile beautifully and look upon the Lord's lotus face, which is beautified by reddish eyes, rolling slightly from intoxication and delighted by love for his devotees. So who couldn't be attracted to this? Instead, people are attracted to so many terrible things and are engaging in so many terrible activities. And it's just there in your face. It was quite overwhelming, actually. Giant screens just blaring in your face all day, 24 hours a day. And people are mesmerized by it. So the alternative, of course, is getting the opportunity to hear and become exposed to real pleasure, and that is Krishna consciousness. It's like we're looking upon the forms of the deities here. It's a whole different experience. It's a whole different pleasure. And if one is sincere, as Prabhupada points out here, if one is a sincere and pure devotee, the material lust in his heart is completely vanquished as he discusses the lusty feelings between the gopis and Krishna, or hearing about the activities of Krishna in general. If one is sincere, one will make quick progress in a spiritual life. So our goal is to some or other get out of this material world and become disinterested in all of this material attraction. But it can only be done in a proper association. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Archdeacon Prabhu.
You know, princesses of the serpent kings, which means, and these serpent kings were previously described as being demoniac, always angry, etc. But then in the purport, Prabhupada says that both the Lord and these women, the women giving him pleasure, had spiritual bodies. So it's a little confusing. We have these demoniac serpent kings, and they have these daughters that are not only devotees of the Lord, but are already manifesting spiritual bodies. It's not even like devotees that have material bodies. They are already, so it's a little confusing. Do you know anything further about that?
I do not. Does anyone have any comment on that? That's a very good question. How they would have spiritual bodies. Yes, Mukunda.
Another question. I hope it's not too problematic. In the purport, Prabhupada mentions that in this connection, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions Adi Rasa. And it's not clear to me whether the connection is the Janmadhyasyata Sutra that he quotes, or whether it's the passage that we're studying now in the Bhagavatam. The word Adi Deva is used in the next verse, which is why I wonder. I'm just wondering what your feeling is on that.
No comment.
Means
the original
the Adi Rasa, field. Yeah.
Yeah, the original.
That seems pretty clear. I was thinking the same thing also. But and I did look at the next verse, but it seems pretty clear that Prabhupada is referring to that original 111.
Thank you for those very nice questions. Sorry I couldn't help. Any other questions or comments? Jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.